Welcome to the Women of Capital Same Page Summer Conversations podcast. In this limited series, I will have conversations with women of capital on how they are incorporating the Word of God into their ordinary lives and how it is changing them. My desire is that these conversations will encourage you to be a woman who not just listens to the Word, but hears it by understanding, believing, and obeying it. Thank you for joining us today in our conversation. Well, welcome to our first Women of Capital Same Page Summer Conversations. Our theme verse for this summer is Hebrews 3:13. So I want to start our first conversation by reading this verse, which says, "But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." And our goal as women of capital is to exhort and encourage one another through the Word. And I love that this verse says, so that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Well, I guess I shouldn't say I love this, but I always notice that it says that because sin is quite simply deceitful. It appears good, it seems pleasant and lovely, but it leaves us empty and it ends up hardening our hearts. And we long to be women with soft hearts. And in doing so and being in the Word and encouraging one another, we are not deceived. So, but the scripture says we need one another in this process. And really, I hadn't decided, I'm going to pick a theme verse for this summer. I had just been reading the Word and came across this verse, and it just seemed to fit so perfectly for what we're trying to do with Same Page Summer. So that's what we're striving to do as we read the Word together. And I hope that these conversations that we have over the next few weeks will be part of that encouragement. So our goal in these summer conversations is twofold. First, I want you to be able to get to know different capital women and hear their hearts. And then we are just going to informally chat about what has impacted us in our reading of God's Word today, because I think that is where so much of our obedience and meditation comes into play, is when we really think about what we're learning. And, you know, if you've done the Bible reading with us before, you've probably heard me and some of the other ladies talk about just the difference that reading and community has made. So that's just a small piece of what these conversations hopefully will help encourage you to continue having those conversations. So today, I have joining me two capital women that you probably know, Emily Marshall and Catherine Williams. And I asked them to join me because Emily and Catherine are part of what I call my Bible reading team. So 2021, right, was when we first started reading through the Bible together. So there was a group of capital women, about 18 of us, who started in the fall reading through the Word together. And Catherine and Emily were a part of that group. And when we wrapped up, both of them wanted to continue on and both expressed desire to help in any way possible. So as our group got bigger of reading through the Word together, they began to help me plan and pray and brainstorm for the Bible reading. And we also have Lysandra Listini as part of our group who couldn't join us today. And also Yvonne Terry.
She got married.
Lysandra Slack, that's right. Oh, guys, Lysandra Slack, she got married. It's in New York, so she couldn't join us today. And then Yvonne Perry, who did not read with us the first year, but just finished reading with us last year, and she just told me that she wanted to help with the Bible reading. So she's a part of our team too. So I wanted you to hear from these ladies, just knowing that they are praying for you and that they have been reading through the Word now, at least these two girls, for two years already. So Let's kick off with, I want you two to introduce yourselves. And then before we launch into discussing today's reading, why don't you just share a little bit about your Bible reading journey and how you've grown the past couple of years reading the Word. So, Emily, why don't we start with you?
Putting you on the spot.
All right, I'm Emily Marshall, and yeah, I've been so, I'm so humbled to be here, honestly, and just love gleaning such wisdom from these ladies, and so it's been incredible being part of this group. So thank you, Gracie. And yeah, it's been incredible journey, because before we started the Bible reading group, I had never read through the whole Bible in my whole life, at least cover to cover. It was very sporadic and always desired that, but never had the discipline or the, I guess, the motivation to push through when you would hit those hard books, like everyone talks about.
Yes.
And, so I think having a community, number one, to do that with and be encouraged by, was like number one, the reason, that it was able to happen. So God used y'all tremendously, but also, God's timing, I can see in my life, is all him for sure. And the app has been helpful, which is ironic, because I...
Because you are not a cell phone person at all.
Detest apps and downloading things, anything that has to do with technology. But it's cool because God has used it to open my eyes and see like where he can use it for good, and when it's used in the proper way. So listening and hearing the Word has been huge for me. I think everyone learns differently and retains things differently. So I believe I'm a very auditory, audible learner. And it just came alive to me more. And I believe, again, God's timing. Jim Briggs at church Sunday was talking about how he had gone to Bible studies for like 2 years and wasn't getting anything. And then suddenly year three, it's like God just opened his eyes. And suddenly it's just this like light goes off or doors open, and you just are like these aha moments of understanding more, and just the Bible, the Holy Spirit opening up my heart and my eyes to hear and see his Word more fully, and making it more of a necessity in my life and a desire versus just something that I'm trying to like accomplish every day. So yeah.
And did you even know that you were more of an audible learner before you, I mean, did you kind of know that?
Yeah. I only knew that in the sense that I'm an audible and a pictorial learner. Mm-hmm. So, but not necessarily like reading, because the only thing I knew was that if I see something in a like film, you know, or a picture, a sign, I can remember that like verbatim but I knew I could remember conversations. I love old movies, so I can watch one movie and pretty much recite the whole thing to you back just after seeing it once. So I knew that, but I never even thought to relate that to hearing the Word or listening. So, yeah.
And you have three kids, expecting your fourth. Yes. So how has that been like? I mean, and to think that in this season of life, this is the season of life that you've now read through the Bible twice.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So, that's so cool. I know that's an encouragement to women who are listening.
Yeah, that's so cool how God works. Because, yeah, that wouldn't make sense just looking at that on paper. Yeah, that has been amazing. And, again, it's, like, so cool how God weaves everything into your life and his timing, and his hand is over everything. So... yeah, and I couldn't have done it. Well, God can do anything, but he used the fact that I could listen wherever I was to be able to accomplish this, because I would definitely say both years, the majority of time I've listened to the Word versus read through it. So I always have that caveat that when I say I read through the Bible in a year.
That's what this is all about.
I love that traditionally, when you look at the whole, you know, from creation till now, like actually the majority of the time people were hearing the word versus reading it. So yeah, that's been life changing that I can just turn it on when I'm cooking, when I'm getting ready in the morning and start my day with the Lord instead of waiting. I think I always try to wait on that perfect time when they were napping, or I would get up before them. And, you know, a lot of us have talked about that with little ones, that that just doesn't seem to happen, or at least it's not consistent.
This was
the first time that I could like consistently count on something, or in the car, like we've talked about, you can just like turn it on in the car. And I love it because they are hearing it too. And I have been blown away. Like, this is the first time that I've really tried to include my oldest, Lucy, who's six, with the children's study guide. And it's been incredible to see what she picks up on. And she's still learning to read. Like, you know, it's very much the simplest version of the study, the children's study
guide. Drawing a picture.
Yes, she loves that part. But, you know, some of the times I'm like, how did you know to draw that? Like, I was like, you know, we didn't think we talked about that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she's like, well, I heard it. And I realized, like, she heard something that I had even, because I was like walking around and trying to get the boys settled so they could like play. And so it's been encouraging to me just to see that childlike faith, and that we can like just absorb God's word even at that age, because I think that that's something that was just kind of for me, like, oh, well, you have to be little older, like you read the main stories or the biographies of, you know, the Bible. But even, I feel like we got so much out of today, just John 17 with her, and we'll talk about that later. But things that aren't necessarily geared towards, like, you know, a six-year-old grabbing her attention. Right. But she, you know, but it's so cool to break it down and have one-word answers to those questions that are in there that help me even, you know.
And so often you think that they aren't paying attention, like you said, but you think that they're not getting it based on their even facial expressions or whatever it might be. And then you're like, whoa,
like you actually did. Yeah. I want to get a children's guide.
Well, I've actually been kind of doing it with my kids because, I mean, the questions are, I mean, it's pretty challenging. I mean, it's a good guide, but it's definitely... Catherine, I may have to give you one.
I will not be drawing like Lucy, but I will be answering the questions.
Okay, so Catherine, let's talk about you for a second. I want to hear a little bit about your Bible reading journey. And I know when I texted you about doing the Bible reading challenge a couple years ago, I'm pretty sure you said yes without hesitation, without having any idea what you're getting into, which is what I love about you. Not afraid. But yeah, share a little bit about your journey with reading the Word. It could be, you know, your past experience or since you've started with reading through the Bible.
Yeah. Okay. So my name is Catherine Williams, and I, very similar to Emily, had big goals in January of, you know, every church will say, oh, here's a Bible reading plan. I'd print it off. Mm-hmm. And then this is before apps, really. You would check it off. And I was so enthralled until about Leviticus. And I was like, what am I doing? This is, and then you get behind and you had no community. Mm-hmm. And I know through the app, it's not really community, but it is a community. And through the Bible reading challenge, the first year and even second year and summer as well, I've been a part like of an accountability group. Mm-hmm. And we would always text each other, and Yvonne Perry was in my group last time, and
she's incredible.
Yeah, that girl has some great insight, and her use of emojis are perfect. I don't know how long it takes her to do the text messages, but they're great. And so having other people, other women, especially walk beside you as you read, you just get so much more. I think the first year I just read, and I was just trying to check it off. Not, and I was also gleaning from it. I'm not discrediting it the first year, but then the second year I had the routine and I had more and more of a hunger for it. So it was, I don't know if it's been with y'all, but my hunger for the word has so increased.
Yes.
I texted Grace Anna, I love a good podcast, like a murder mystery, 20, 40 hours. And how even my listening to podcasts has so shifted to say, oh, let me just reread the reading for today and let me just meditate on it. I was not at the event last Thursday, but I listened to some of it, and how Grant just said, we don't, I'm going to paraphrase and
correct me. Please do.
How we should not just listen, but we should meditate on it. And that, even if I listened to it today, it really penetrated to me, because it's like, you know, the first year I was listening just to get the aroma and the pattern of it. But the second year, it was just so much more meaningful to me because I was used to it. And this summer is kind of light because we only read four chapters. Typically, I was like, oh, I could do this in a proverb. Like, we got this. But I have just so enjoyed it. Now, I'm single, so I don't have any.
But you also work full time.
Yeah, I do work full time.
In some ways, I think, can be more challenging because you are not your own boss with your time.
You're right. But I just so, I can be an early bird when it comes to certain things. But I have so made it a point to finish, I have a Pilates class like in the morning, but so I know I have to finish my Bible reading plan before I go to the Pilates, because if not, my day will get away from each other. And since I work, I can listen to it, but it's not really, it's just background noise. So I have just craved that reading. And it's so, so I'm ready for year three. It has helped because I so gravitate to the New Testament. By reading through the Bible reading plan, it's made me go into like the Old Testament, but like kind of the waters that we don't go too much.
Right.
But it has also helped. I'm also in a Bible study, and we studied Genesis last year. And it was just so amazing just to really study Genesis and then finish the Bible reading plan to see kind of the end goal of the Bible. That sounds awful. But to have the whole picture.
The whole picture.
It was just, I was like, wow, this was just, it was just wonderful just to see the word really, really come to life. So year three, I might be drawing like Lucy.
Yes.
Now that will take an act of the Lord to do that. But I mainly do auditory and I just sit and you I follow along and I think that helps me because the Old Testament gets really scary with names and everything.
Right.
And it helps me not worry about a name and it will speak it to me and I can just follow. So I think I'm a auditory and visual. I don't know if you can be such of that, but that it really helps me sink in.
What I love, Catherine, that you brought up that reading the whole Bible helps your study when you're studying a book, because that's what I found to be true in my life, because that was my biggest struggle with actually reading through the whole Bible is because I want to study everything.
Yes.
Like, I love it, and I just, it's so good and so rich. And what I found is if I can keep reading through the Bible, it actually makes the passages that I'm able to study that much richer because I'm seeing scripture as a whole.
Yes.
So it has enabled me to do both. And now that I'm, you know, several years of doing this, it doesn't always look the same. Like right now I'm studying 1 Timothy and I don't study that every morning, but I study that a couple times a week. And then I'm also listening. And so I just think it's exciting to incorporate more. And I just love what you said about the hunger for God, because I found that to be true in my life too. It suddenly, it just is so evident that God changes your desires.
He does.
And it doesn't mean like, it's, of course it's so fun to listen to a crime podcast in time, you know, or to listen to a fun book. But when your life, when you're just constantly searching for entertainment,
it's never ending.
So it's it just it. That's what I love about the word. Okay, so today we read five chapters, so it was a little bit like our normal.
It was
normal reading when we're reading throughout the year, and it was John chapters 17, 18, 19, 20, and 21. And I think we did the five chapters so we could finish the book. Mm-hmm. So again, these are incredibly rich chapters of scripture. I mean, it's almost overwhelming mm-hmm. to think, okay, we read all of this morning.
I did say, Grace Anna, you chose in my book today's passage.
But that's what I want these conversations to be, is, okay, what did you learn? What jumped out to you? And I will say, and we're not going to do this today, but one thing I've been trying to do since Grant encouraged us on Thursday night is after I do my reading, I'm trying to say, okay, what was chapter 17 about?
Yes.
What was chapter 18
about?
That
was so good.
I'm not going to like test you guys.
That was so great. Cause I'm like, that is so me. And listen here. And then 4 hours later, it's like, what did I just read?
Yes.
And so it's so simple, but it was so good. And it's easy to do. It's like, go through it and then just be like, okay, what did I just
say? And if we start doing that all the time, it's going to stick. Because I already know now, John 15, abiding in the vine. Like, I know.
Yes.
John 15. So, okay. So, Emily, let's jump back to you. And it can be anything from the reading for today. So don't feel like, oh, it's all important. It's all God's word.
It was so good. And I feel like Catherine, like, encouraged this summer that it is a little bit less. So I've found that I am able, not every day, but to be able to go through it. And I feel a little prepared for when I go through it with Lucy. And she and I actually don't do all four.
Right. Because it's a lot
She'll
for her
age. We'll do about two.
Yes.
Yeah.
But still, I'm like so grateful for that because I'm like, I feel like I can actually be a little bit, I like know what's coming, so I can actually focus a little bit more.
Listening right now, well, so far, we're only a weekend, but are you listening right now before her and then going through it again with her? That's
yes. Nice. Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah. So that's been really good because the same, like when you're saying you're sometimes re-listening,
right.
You desire to just re-listen to today's instead of go listen to something else. That's, we're able to meditate.
Yeah,
more, you know, it's like more sinking in. And I loved, I'll just say this quick little thing, because you had encouraged us, Gracie Anna, a while back to do this in our Bibles to some, if you care to put the date of mm-hmm. when you read it. And it was fun today because, and who knows if I was on track or behind last summer or what, but I have in here, today's June 6th, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So it was, I read this same John 17 last year, June 6th.
Oh my goodness.
No way. Yeah. So it was just, oh, it's just funny.
Well, I guess it makes sense.
Yeah.
It was the same plan. I was like, no, I guess.
Yeah.
But I was like,
oh, that's so funny. But how, yeah, just to see, wow.
Yeah. And then the year before, yeah, I don't know. And then it has the other date. But anyways, I love John 17 so much because I just, it gives us a picture of what Jesus is doing now mm-hmm. at the right hand of the Father, mm-hmm. interceding for us, and just his love and all the just relational, you know, verbiage in this mm-hmm. chapter. I just love it so much. And I've shared with y'all before a lot, and God's ultimate goal is to bring himself glory. And that mm-hmm. is just such a new concept for me as an adult. So especially just in that first section, just seeing that over and over and over.
That, I feel like that section hit me as well this morning, how personal it was, mm-hmm. because verse 20 is about us, because he says, mm-hmm. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me mm-hmm. through their word. And I just, you know, you just feel that personal love mm-hmm. that he has for us, that
mm-hmm.
It wasn't just about, he loved his disciples and he was looking ahead to Catherine, Emily, and Grace Anna. It's incredible to think about that kind of love.
Yes. And like going with that, his love that just continues obviously mm-hmm. throughout everything, but there's so much in these chapters. But one thing that hit me today, and I think it was in the, what's the commentary that you gave?
Oh, the Family Worship Guide by Joel Beatty.
Yes.
Yeah. So good.
Yes.
So good.
It's
so good.
I forgot.
Yeah.
Everybody needs a copy of that.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. So I think it kind of mentions in there, because we can go back, but jumping forward a bit to when the crowd is yelling to free, asking Pilate to free Barabbas. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just, I've never viewed that as me and us. Mm-hmm. Like, we are set free. And while the innocent is the one.
Mm-hmm. Like, we're Barabbas. Like, yes. We're the one.
Yeah. I always just, like, detest that part. And, like, just, you know, just, like, ugh. Like, the hearing the Jews, you know, the Jewish leaders shout that and demand that he is set free. Just, you just hate that. You know, you're like, this is my Jesus, my innocent. Yeah, it's just wrong. But reading that in the comments, I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, that's me. Like, that's, mm-hmm. and that's what he came to do, is the innocent. He is innocent, and yet he's taking it all on him so that I can be set free, just like Barabbas was the guilty one, you know, set free. And so, yeah.
Yeah, that truth is just incredible. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, what about you, Catherine?
Well, you kind of stole my thunder.
Oh, no.
But I'm just going to repeat. I loved verse 20 that I did not ask for
17:20.
Oh, Catherine, I did. Me through the, because it just was so meaningful. Just how his prayer for him and us, and that the Lord's will would be done, and how I probably would not be thinking about Gracie and Emily. I'd be trying to save money, you know. But just how humble he was and set on doing the world of the Lord. But and another thing I just loved, just that scripture came alive from the Old Testament that fed into this, was like how prophecy was fulfilled by even the garments, that nothing was torn, and that he was...
Catherine, look, I underlined that thing.
We've been doing the plan. So just how the inerrancy of scripture, and how as we do in this summer Bible plan, and even the other Bible plan through the year, just for us to be loaded with that knowledge that scripture is powerful, and that there are prophecies that he fulfilled over and over and over again. So
that is so true. And when you begin, I think, you begin to see the word that way, you start seeing it everywhere, that Jesus was completely fulfilling the word and the supremacy of his word, and then you can't unsee it.
Yes. Yes.
So
when you do the whole Bible as a whole, like we've been doing, those, when you hear that, you're like, oh, you know, like, I might not be able to specifically pinpoint which book of the Bible it's from, but it's so fun to go back and be like, well, I just read that. Like, you recognize things. It's like brought to mind.
Yes.
Throughout the whole readings.
And that his ultimate goal was to fulfill the scripture. Mm-hmm. Even like in John 19:28, after this, Jesus, knowing that I was all now finished, and said to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. Yep. Mm-hmm. I mean, just... Fulfilled.
Yeah.
So,
and I feel like too, I mean, obviously it's especially impactful for us at Capitol because Grant's been preaching through John. And so even though we're not here yet, there's so much, because we've been studying John, there's so much that I'm seeing.
Yes.
You know, how Grant was talking about how Jesus said it is finished. Then he gave up his spirit.
Right.
You're seeing these things. And then in his prayer, how he says, I am praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And how he, even that is another thing of his work of redemption. He's praying for those who he will save, who are us. So that is, again, I think another element of when you're reading through the word and you're under preaching, that those things begin to like really come together.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So okay, for me, and I don't know if it was just, I don't know why chapter 21, I mean, they're just so good, chapters 20 and 21. I mean, his resurrection, and it was really neat for me, having just gone to Israel, to kind of have some visuals of these things. But one of the things that really hit me was chapter 21, verse 10, where Jesus is on the land because he is going to actually... I should probably look before that. So it's when Jesus, you know, goes to the shore and some of the disciples, it's like Simon and Thomas and Nathaniel and two other disciples are out fishing. And the day's breaking and the disciples see him, but they don't know it's him. And he asks them if they have any fish and they say no. And he tells them, you know, cast your net on the right side of the boat and you're going to find some. So they do that. And then of course they catch tons of fish. And if Peter knows, then it's the Lord. Yes. And he just jumps into the water. It says he threw himself into the sea. And I love that picture of just, you know, he wants to see the Lord. We just read how he had denied the Lord three times. Mm-hmm. And I can only imagine, like, he just wants to be reconciled. Mm-hmm. He just wants to see the Lord. Mm-hmm. And then I love that it said in verse 10, Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you have caught. So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 mm-hmm. of them. I don't, you know, when the Holy Spirit just, I don't know why that just hit me, because I just thought about how they were large fish and how when God works, he works abundantly. And so often we think like, oh, let me just pray for some little fish. Like, let me just pray for something small. But that how when God provides, he often provides unexpectedly. Mm. He provides abundantly. And he provides like beyond our expectations. And so it just kind of made me think, Lord, like, what should I be praying for? And I should be expecting you to act in an abundant way. And then of course Jesus doesn't even need the fish. He's already cooked breakfast. We don't know where he got them. He's already cooked breakfast. And he says, come have breakfast. And of course they know then that it's the Lord, because this is what the Lord does. This is who he is. He abundantly provides for his children. Mm. So I was just so overwhelmed by that. And then of course the last verse of the book says, now there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. This is how I would write this. Like, here I am. I love how he worded this. And it's just, again, I think it's that picture of like, Jesus did so much that if you were to write it, the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. So on that note, my encouragement as we close is just that we would be women who pray and expect God to do abundant things. And I want to pray that he's going to do abundant things this summer through our women mm-hmm. reading the word together and through our church body and families. And I'm excited to see what he's going to do. So thank you, ladies, for joining
me. Thank you for having me. This is fun.
Yeah. Let me close this in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your word and the opportunity to read it together this summer. And I pray for women who are listening right now that they would be encouraged and that all of our hearts would be softened by your word and not hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So Lord, we just pray that you would bless our summer, you would bless our reading and our time in your word. And we know that your word is sufficient and that it will accomplish its work. And we give all these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining the Women of Capital for our Same Page Summer Conversation. Visit CapitalCommunityChurch.com to get plugged into our summer reading.